Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I want to kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Okay, everybody. Hey, Scott Patterson. We are back for another episode, and we're going to talk about Teach Me Tonight, episode 19, season 2, aired April 30, 2002, a day that will live in infamy, let me tell you, because it is the staggering debut of a film by Kirk, is it not? Is it the first? Is it the premiere? Is it the debut? Am I wrong? This is the first time we... It's just absolute genius. Anyway, I am here with Danielle Romo, Riley Pelousis, and... Amy Sugarman is here. The ball club has gathered. Riley, take us away with your synopsis.
So today, Lorelai gets to pick a film for the movie festival. Luke asks Rory to tutor Jess, but during their study night, a car accident and a fractured wrist leads Luke to making a decision about Jess living in Stars Hollow. Chris returns to comfort Lorelai and Rory and wishes he can stay longer.
I'll tell you, This was an emotional roller coaster, wasn't it?
Yes.
This thing, it got very heavy. I'm not saying this to be, you know, a jackass, but, you know, it started to take on this sort of, this element of General Hospital where you're just like, oh my God. You know what I mean? I'm not taking it down that level. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that stuff, but
this is an epic.
But episode. It really was kind of shocking.
What did you think?
I was completely engaged. What can I tell you? I'm sitting on my couch. It's 8 p.m. last night. You know, my boy's asleep and boom, I hit play. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And I love the opening. I thought it was really great because we get a little Michael Winters action, you know, get the yes. Michael Winters magic yes. when we, God, he's so good. He's so great to watch. He really digs in to the scene, you know, he really grounds it and just like, boom. And he's like mm-hmm. the perfect backboard to hit the ball off with Lorelai and Rory just hitting the ball back and forth. It was wonderful. And
yeah, established- we have one of the funniest moments mm-hmm. with a film by Kirk. Mm-hmm. And the most dramatic with the fight between Luke and Laura. So it was like, whoa, oof. This episode.
And then the ass whooping that's a coming to Jess once Lorelai gets a hold of him. I thought she was going to run to the bus stop, get on a bus and follow him to his mom's house and just like dive in the living room window and start ninja-ing, you know, with the nunchucks. I mean, yeah. She's going to open up a couple of cans of whoop ass on him. Let me tell you, that kid. You know, good thing he got out of town. Good thing he got out. Because I'm telling you, yeah. as a parent, yes, that is your worst fear realized. And it doesn't matter if everybody's okay. And her reaction is completely justified. I mean, because if anyone laid a hand, I mean, on my son, oh boy. I mean, you really need to restrain yourself, right? When a little bullying thing happens at school and you hear about it and he tells you about it and it's like, mm-hmm. oh boy, you know, you really have to just kind of like, uh-oh, you know, here comes the monster. So, it was all consuming. What did you guys think?
Literally, I have no words. There was so much happening. There was so much happening. I'm like, Jess and Rory, that was something else. Lorelai and Luke, that fight was unbelievably epic. Christopher and Lorelai at the end, I'm like, oh my God. Yep. Then you have Kirk's movie. Then you have the movie night, you know, like the actual interaction between Rory, Christopher, and Lorelai. It was just so good. So much happening. Well, so much happening.
I want to know what both of you think about Rory and Jess.
He came off a little bit too much of a punk for me this episode. And then I started feeling really bad for him. You know, the poor kid, he's so troubled and he has no port in the storm, you know, and he's looking for one. And it's just so tragic to see this kid, the wasted potential, the potential of his wasted potential on the horizon here. And that if he doesn't start making better decisions, you know, these opportunities are going to go by the wayside and you don't get them back. You don't get a second chance. I mean, you can really work hard and hustle if maybe a year or two pass you by and then you sort of see the light and you start applying yourself, then you can recover. But if too much time passes by for him and he just wants to hang out and go wherever the wind takes him and get a job here. And he, you know, one of these guys, you know, he's looking to be what's the movie, the Matt Damon, Ben Affleck movie that made them famous?
Good Will Hunting.
Yeah. He's looking to be, you know, he's looking to turn into a little bit of a Good Will Hunting there guy.
Yeah. And Rory calls him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She says, you're the smartest kid in school. What's going on?
But it's that will there's no safety for him. He doesn't feel safe anywhere. He doesn't feel like he can put himself out there or be social or be accepted. Everything to him is negative and dark and he wants to be by himself and he doesn't understand why. And if he intellectually understands it, he doesn't emotionally, he can't emotionally grasp it. He can't.
And what do you attribute that to, knowing what you know?
He has no solid base of anybody loving him. He doesn't have anybody hugging him or loving him in the right way. I mean, he's got Luke, but that's a new thing and that's filled with conflict, right? And I don't know that Luke is the best person for this. You know, he's trying. Mm. He's trying, but Luke's very busy. He's got issues of his own, right? And then, you know, I found out in his meeting with the principal that he wasn't the greatest student in the world, which surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, that did surprise me too.
I didn't think it did the character justice and I was...
Correct, because the character is very smart.
Yeah, he is.
So that was...
And so it doesn't mean that he's going to do well in school, but metal shop? You know, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, that, those take skills too and dedication and study, but
just knowing what we know about Luke and his knowledge about business and finances and taxes and law and all those things, in addition to being able to build Bubba's.
Yeah, but you can acquire those skills and acquire that knowledge over time being in a business. It's not necessarily academic. True. Right. Sure. He didn't. So maybe he didn't know how to study, or he wasn't the greatest student. He wasn't engaged. He wasn't interested. He was doing other things. Right. He had his head in the clouds. Who knows what was going on?
Who knows, right?
But it's like, it seems like the bloodline has, you know, the Danes bloodline or something has gotten into Jess a little bit, obviously. And he's,
it was interesting. The principal calling you Mr. Dane so much, because we don't hear it that often in the show.
No. And
that was a little bit.
And truly, truly pleased to see the legendary Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. I mean, I forgot that I got to act with him. And isn't he great? Isn't he just superb? Yeah. And I just was, I was so pleased. I love that scene. But I think Jess needs something different. He does need a change of scenery. Being with Uncle Luke, I don't think it's... Well, as we see, there it's just filled with complications and conflict. And
how did you, Scott/Luke, feel about the low blow he said about the diner? Oh, maybe I'll work in a diner.
But that's a Goodwill Hunting type of, like, this kid's so smart, he's going to make, you know, he's going to look at the painting, Robin Williams painting, like, oh, old man, he's losing his oars, he's drifted seas, lost, and, you know, and then you find out his wife died of cancer. So it was one of those situations where it's like Luke is like, boy, this poor kid's really lost. I mean, if he's attacking me, then that kid is really defensive. He's really nasty. And he ain't changing soon. The only thing that's going to change him, and I hate to say this now that I see this, he needs Rory more than anything, but that he's going to be bad for Rory, because it's going to take Rory's full tank of fuel of her love and her compassion and her empathy to get this kid on the right track, and it's going to throw her off her track. It's going to pull her focus.
Yeah. What do you think about Luke asking Rory for help and how he did it? And what do you think of Lorelai's reaction?
I think I would have had the same reaction. Like, Mike, don't come around to my kid. She's focused. She doesn't have time for this. I don't want this kid around. He's bad news. And she was right. She sees the future. She's a mother. She gets it. It's in her gut. And she's a good enough friend to Luke, and she's a good enough person to allow this. And that's why she was so upset. She was mainly upset with herself for allowing it, because she tried to put a stop to it, and she should have put her foot down. But again, she doesn't want to be that. She doesn't want to be that woman who stands in the way of her daughter and is not a good friend to Luke. And she's part of a community, and she, you know, this is helping, because down the line, she's going to ask him for help. And she's gone to the well with Luke many, many times, and he's always there for her. And he always will be there for her. So I guess she felt obligated, of course, but she went against her better instincts, and she regretted it.
Well, and there's no stopping Rory, because Rory likes
Jess.
Boy, does
she like Jess. And she played, didn't she play that beautiful? Isn't she just wonderfully nuanced and subtle? And again, there's
the scene in the diner when they're studying.
There's those eyeballs. There's the cute face. And she's just, she doesn't do too much because she doesn't have to. And I read her face so easily and so well. She's so good at this. And just, I don't know. I don't know that she came out of any background in acting. I think she was in film school. And it's kind of remarkable how she can do this. So,
And what did you think of Milo's performance?
Oh, he's great. I mean, he's really great. When you hate him, when you have to hate him, he knows that as an actor. And you're like, wow, this guy's trouble. Because that's the fine line that he has to walk, right? It's like, he trusts the writing so much that he's okay getting the direction, like, Milo, you know, I'm sorry, but they have to hate you here, because we're going to bring you back and to this degree, and we're going to bring you back this percentage. And he understands that. So that's what makes it interesting to watch, because we know there's going to be these peaks and valleys. We know there's going to be this range that the actors can play. So there's all this freedom within the very big range. So he's.
And what did you think of the scene when Luke finds Jess on the bridge, the infamous bridge.
I love fell in love with Jess again because he was on the verge of tears. And you could hear it crackling in his voice a little bit. And he said, listen, I did everything I could. And he knew he screwed up. And he knew, I think that was a big moment in his life where the love of his life, the woman, the girl that he thinks that he can save him, but he's going to blow it. He's going to blow it every time. And he's going to go away because he knows he's not ready. And I think that he's noble. I think there was some real nobility in him, and in the end, in the choice he made to get on a bus and get out of town, go back to his mother. I don't know what it's going to turn out to be, whether Luke forced him onto that bus and said, get the hell out of here. I've had enough. You've hurt, my family here, which is Lorelai and Rory.
Wow.
And you've hurt my family. Get the heck. I don't know if Luke did that. I want to say that nobility won the day and just withdrew honorably and said, I'm going to go back to my mom. I'm not ready to be in a society. I am not ready. I've got to go get my act together, get my head together and deal with my problems with my mother and maybe be a better guy. So that'll
can't wait to see what's coming. Yeah. But what did Riley and Danielle think of the whole thing? Save the fight. We're going to talk about that towards the end, but what did you think of all of it?
So like Scott was saying earlier, how Jess needs Rory. And I feel like that last scene, just like you were saying, Scott, like he realized how badly he messed it up and he was so remorseful. And I felt for him so much in that moment. But then I'm also like, Jess, she's the one that wanted to turn right one more time. Like, don't stress out too much. Like, it's half her fault too. But in that moment, I was like, oh man, like, he really is just shattered, like completely gutted.
Yeah.
Some felt for him.
So shattered. But how Jess and Rory looked at each other in the car especially, like, gave me all the feels. Mm-hmm. I was like just the way they're looking at each other. You can, like, see it. You can see how much they like each other. And then the bridge scene, like, how beautiful, like, the metaphor was that once the bridge that once Luke pushed Jess off, he's now sitting next to Jess, lifting him up and like being there for him.
Mm-hmm. And wearing matching green jackets.
I wasn't ready.
Yep. And in the same spot where Jess and Rory had the picnic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a wonderful scene, that sitting down next to him.
What do you think about the fact that Dean, and I'm using quotes, air quotes, is missing, that he's at grandma's during all of this, as opposed to sort of being there, which would have been a totally different version. What is so funny?
Poor Dean. He's just, his car's getting crushed. His heart's getting, that car is emblematic of his heart, right? That's a pre-crushed heart. He doesn't know that his heart is going to end up like the car, but it's going to end up like the car. And it's the poor kid. I just feel bad for him. I don't know what's coming, but it ain't good for old Dean, our old buddy Dean.
to interject, the thing I like about Gilmore Girls is because I don't, when did this episode air again, Riley?
April of 2002.
So we're heading into like May sweeps. So you could have had an episode where it's like the car accident and a big, a very special Gilmore to be continued. And we're all left like, but the thing that's so brilliant about it is like the car accident was in the middle of the episode. There was so much more and we still got the movie and the levity and the sort of the scene between Lane and Rory as they're walking. And that I think is something that I really like about the show. It does the unexpected, because so many shows would have left us hanging on a cliffhanger and like, oh my God. And instead we get real life.
We didn't even see the car accident. And for the second time, an animal caused a car accident.
Right. But wait a minute. Let's go back. You said something. It did end on a cliffhanger. It ended on.
Correct. With Jess leaving. Right. But that could have been the second cliffhanger. Right. That could have, So here's what's so funny, and I know you guys won't be able to help me with this, so I really hope people listening will. I've seen this episode at least three times, probably four, because I watched it when it was on originally. Then I watched all the DVDs. So now I'm watching it third, fourth time in streaming. In my mind, we saw the car accident. So the whole scene in the car, I was having like a stomach ache. I'm like, it's coming, it's coming. And I watched it through my like hands because I was so nervous. Like, I know the car accident's coming. It so blew my mind that we don't see the car accident.
Don't need to see it. You don't need to see it.
Correct. But it was so weird. I wonder if anyone else listening had that same reaction on like a second or third watching where you forgot that you don't see it because it's so dramatic. I felt like we saw it.
Yeah.
I did actually like rewind. Like when Roy was in the hospital, I was like, did I just miss some like a scene? Like, right. Where was the crash?
Right.
Rewound it like a minute. And I'm like, oh no, it just jumps right to the hospital.
Which is so interesting.
Your imagination does the work for you. That's good writing where it's like, you don't need to see it because you've already seen it in your mind.
And then they do show the car and the tow truck. So you're like, ooh, that's no fender bender.
No, that was a big hit.
That was a big,
that's like goodbye Dean car. It's like, that's a big hit. Yeah, that's.
All right. So anyway, I interject, but back to what you all think of Dean and Dean at grandma's.
I'm happy he wasn't in this episode. I don't think I can do another.
I can't either.
Pouting Dean scene. I can't.
They just need to put him in a body bag and get him off the show. I mean, he's just he's done.
Yeah.
He's going to spontaneously combust. I mean, he's just going to, does he explode in an episode? I mean, the poor guy. I mean,
So for the three of you, do you think the car accident and the drama that ensues will bring Rory and Jess closer or split them up?
Riley, go ahead.
I definitely think it'll bring him closer. I think he's going to come back and I think she's going to be thinking about it so much. She's going to be sitting there with her broken wrist, fractured wrist, and be thinking about Jess and if he's okay. And I think that constant thinking, and he'll be doing the same, and it'll just bring him closer.
Danielle?
I agree. I think Jess is going to check in on Rory and apologize and just feel super crappy about it. And he's going to be like, Rory, are you doing okay? I'm sorry. And then she's going to be like, oh my God, he cares about me. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't see Jess. The thing that intrigues me the most is how Jess is going to get past the tank divisions that Lorelai places in front of the house to fend him off if he ever comes near again.
I love that you guys don't know. I mean, I know everyone's like in their cars or like, I don't know, vacuuming right now going, what? How do they not know?
But it's like, I know one thing, and this is my prediction, and I don't know this in any other way except in my predictive capabilities, but I think there's going to be a big mother-daughter scene where Rory begs or Rory tries to make Lorelai understand how she feels.
Fascinating.
And I think that's going to be a big tumultuous scene. There's going to be a lot of conflict in it. Maybe it's two conversations. Maybe it's three. It's going to take three conversations for Lorelai to call off the Dobermans, who are now currently sniffing Jess' socks, you know, getting the scent. So I'm not going to say it again, but I think we should all just towel off right now. Anyway, let's get some refreshments. I'm going to pass around some cucumber slices, and we'll be back after these words. Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing free samples. It's springtime, and that means allergies. Mine have been throwing me off, and I need something that works fast. That's where AstroPro comes in. It's the first of its kind nasal allergy spray, and it is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter spray you can get. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Plus, it is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. So if you suffer from allergies like I do, get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. Visit AstroProAllergy.com. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. It is a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature. And of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture. And we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, we're back. That was good cucumber. Thank you. So that was nice. Refreshing.
Do you like Christopher in this episode?
I do. What made me uncomfortable, and it's again this sort of Lukey Scott thing, jealousy stuff that doesn't really exist, but it does.
It does.
I didn't like that that Lorelai kept saying, like, in sort of with her moony eyes to him, like, I really like it when you're here. Because I like it too.
Well,
and, you know, there's his girlfriend back at.
Yeah, but are none of you getting a vibe?
Back at his yeah, I mean,
that things aren't so sherry with
she.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's not so sunshine and rainbows in Boston right now.
Because again, I know, so I don't see it with fresh eyes. So you guys are seeing it. And that was clear because I felt it was clear, but I didn't know if I was like armchair quarterbacking it because I know what's happening. Were you happy to feel that Sherry, you know, there's trouble in paradise with Christopher and Sherry?
No.
Right.
Not at all. I'm like, get the possessive side of me is like, get back to Sherry, you know, tend to business. I mean, I get, sure, he needs to be with his daughter. But it was just, it was so, I don't know, that was a little uncomfortable for me to watch. I didn't like seeing Lorelai right. like that.
And what do the girls think? Because I like it. Look, you're my number one, but I like Christopher.
I'm unpopular opinion. Christopher's my number one.
Oh,
I love when they're together.
A pox on thee.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Goodness.
But smile ear to ear every single time I see them together. I'm like, there's just so much chemistry. I love them. I do.
Well, and especially because it's so coming after the biggest fight that Luke and Lorelai have ever had. So we're like, oh God, ooh, 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 ooh.
Riley, what do you think?
I thinks. It's so hard. I can see, like, I have that love for Christopher and Lorelai because their connection is crazy and they have all that history. But I'm rooting for Luke and Lorelai just because I want to see how it happens. I want to see, you know, them get there. It's so dividing.
Amy, how do you feel? Knowing how you feel, how do you feel about this?
Okay, one is I understand why everyone's like losing their bleep over the car accident and the whole situation. That being said, these are teenagers. So I'm not sure that the Luke Lorelai blow up, I feel that it could have been avoided if cooler heads prevailed. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I totally understand why Lorelai's exploding the way she is and why Luke has to defend his nephew, his blood, his family, and why they had that fight. That being said, let's all calm down. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's all calm down. So there's that. I also love Christopher, and I like that Lorelai has a crush on Christopher and the flirty flirt with Christopher. And I like that he dropped everything to be there. I just know that everything's way more complicated than we've learned.
You know what? She falls in love with everybody. She gets a crush on everybody. I'm the only guy for her. Shut up. Kidding me? Are you kidding me with this malarkey? It's malarkey is what it is. For God's sake.
You know, I also like how they got over their fight quickly. Mm-hmm. We didn't belabor that. It was like, here he is. You know, I like that he came in the room and just slept there. He is being a good dad, even though he was like an absent dad for so long.
I don't blame Lorelai for screaming at me. When you get that frightened, because, you know, she's not seeing a fractured wrist. She's seeing a dead child, potentially, right or left. She could have hit her head and died. She could have been dead. And that's the thing that scares her so much. And she is justified at really blowing up at Luke. But what's Luke to do? I mean, it's just one of those situations he's got to understand and not take it personally. I think actually Luke was a little flawed in that scene. And I think that shows something about Luke, that his tolerance level and his compassion you have to be mature enough to know that how upset she could be. But he, you know, I mean, April has not come on the scene yet, right? He's not aware. Correct. I mean, he's not even aware he has a child.
Correct.
So you can't know.
What you don't know.
If you don't have a child yourself, if it is not your DNA, you cannot know how deeply you are capable of loving someone. And at the same token, you cannot know how frightening it is at the prospect of that love being.
He could have that love for Jess.
No, he could. Like, no, he could not. He could not. It's not the same. I have loved people very deeply that I am not related to. And then when my son was born, it's a whole different level. It's a whole different ballgame.
And
if they potentially get injured, or they get injured, they could potentially die, man, you will freak. It takes a tremendous amount of strain. And the fact that Luke is childless at this point, doesn't know about his daughter, he needed to show more understanding to Lorelai and more compassion. Stop being so defensive. He could have been a little better with her. But his life experience didn't allow that to happen.
I don't know. I feel like he really defended Jess.
But there's no defense for it. There's no defense for it. It's not defensible.
Here's the thing. Lorelai was criticizing Luke for bringing him here.
Right.
And I think that's unfair. I do. I think that
that's... But no, it's not that. And she said that. And she's saying, you know, she's going to be emotional. Of course, I understand it. Right. She's going to be, you know, ripping anybody that had anything to do with this. And that's her right as a mother, and being that afraid. Oh my God, it's the worst feeling in the world, the fear. And you got to let it out. And Lorelai is not shy. She lets her feelings be known. Mm-hmm. She's established this over 40 episodes. And you've got the perfect actress to do that. So, you know, give her the ammo. Let her blast away at Luke and see what he does. And I just think that Luke could have been better at just maybe understanding where this is coming from. But he can't, since he doesn't have a child. He doesn't know the fear.
That's the part that I'm like,
well, he's protecting blood. That's like, he's protecting his blood.
Right. And he needed to do what he did. He needed to bring Jess here. That is what someone does. And so,
but as a man, I'm sorry to interrupt. But as a man,
please.
He has to show more restraint. He can't unload on Lorelai like that.
I don't know, because if you're saying Lorelai was justified in how she felt, then to me, Luke is just as justified in how he felt, because he also has that same fear that something could have happened to Jess. So Jess could have been
hurt. It's not his kid.
It doesn't. No, see, I disagree. That's like saying that somebody who adopted a kid doesn't love it in the same way that somebody loves their you know, biological kid.
I wanted him to show more restraint. I wanted him to show more compassion and a little more understanding.
I think this is interesting, because I like how he had his kids back.
At the end. Yeah. At the end of the day, Luke is telling Lorelai at the end of this day that with all these events happening, right, and Rory almost losing her life, because she's the one that got hurt, not Jess, right? That it ends up what Luke says to her, right back at you, go to hell, right? That's the end result of this. So it's that doesn't land well for me. I'm sorry, it does not land well for me on the character.
Lorelai also needed to see it from your perspective.
No,
because if the tape, she does.
Oh, you and I are going to butt heads in this episode, lady. Let me tell you.
But that's okay, because
No.
What does she think? You weren't supposed to take in your nephew? Is she kidding?
No, but it's this kid that she can't get rid of. She can't keep her daughter away from this. It's and yes, it could turn into a self-fulfilling prophecy, and she's sort of bringing it all into this sphere of existence, if you want to get what's the word I'm looking for, if you want to get wifty about it. But I don't blame her. And I think she was completely justified. She has been trying to repel.
He's
a repellent individual. He is unsafe.
No,
he is dangerous.
No.
He is risky. She feels it in her gut. She is protecting her sweet daughter.
Boy.
No, get him out. Get on a bus.
Oh my God.
I want her to go after him. I want the next episode to start off with her open up some cans of whoop ass. She's got her AK. She's got, you know, she's got some ninja knives. She's got all kinds of stuff, and she's going to go after Jess.
Look, I understand why Lorelai doesn't want Rory with Jess, but I also understand Luke has all the right in the world to have taken in his nephew. He's doing the best he can. Look, Rory could have been a bad kid. Let's just say the roles were reversed. You think Lorelai's not going to love Rory just as much if she's stealing the baseballs? Of course she is. So Luke is right. He is being a father, because he is saying, I love this kid so much that I have to have his back. And I need to know that my kid's okay. Mm-hmm. Because remember, in that fight, he doesn't know that yet. Not that he might not be physically okay, but emotionally okay. You are the father.
I thought it was selfish of Luke to ask Rory to tutor Jess in the first place. I thought it was not appropriate. I agreed with Lorelai. I thought if Luke was really a responsible, quote unquote, parent, he would have gotten a tutor. So why?
First of all, he knows that that's not going to work.
But try it first before inconvenience. Like, if he'd sat down and said, listen, I've tried three different tutors. It's not working out. Jess isn't respecting them at all. You're my last resort. I'm trying to help this kid. Right. And they could, he could have he gone, after, you know, why not go after a tutor that's kind of, you know, and Luke, like Lorelai, like, you know, somebody that Lorelai could be jealous of. Hey, let's rewrite the storyline here. Let's
take a pause. Let me ask you guys a question.
Right. Right. When I'm making a great point, you want to take a pause. Oh my God. Oh, just take a pause. When I'm making a super important point, impactful point, and I will continue. I will continue. You will not pause me. I am not. I'm not fine. A computer. You can't push
that
a pause
is fair.
Button.
That is
I'm
fair.
I'm not pausing.
That is fair. You continue.
Listen to me continuing.
Trying to defend that it was wrong to ask Rory to tutor the kid. Go ahead. I'll win in a minute.
But look at the opportunity. Could have gone to some girl in the next town who, you know, they kind of like it. They're vibing each other, right?
No. We would be right back here in 3 episodes from now.
What? Total. Who would be?
Thank
who would
you,
be
Danielle,
right? Yes,
that is
yes.
Right.
But get them. But that buys you 3 more episodes. That might buy you a whole nother season of Gilmore, right? I mean, season 8 true. Could have been, look, season 9 could have been a foregone conclusion had he just gone
I
for
don't
three
think
tutors.
Luke or Lorelai have to be wrong for the other one to be right. I think each
oh,
of them.
Oh, now you're sounding
doing...
like a song. Oh, man.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and the last star on the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Jean. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Jean, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So here's my game for you guys. I want to know what you think. Had Rory been driving the car? Yeah. Everything is the same, but Rory drove. They still turned right. They still swerved for the animal. Jess broke his wrist. The car, everything is the same. We're just switching. Rory's driving the car. I want to know what you all would think of that.
I think Rory would have had, you know, deer in the headlights, literal deer in the headlights experience after the deer hit her car, right? She would have had more experience handling animals coming at her car. I don't think she would have swerved as much. It's in the script.
Not the game.
Boom. I just dropped that on you. I just went, reached back in season one and boom.
The game
just
is
blew up your argument.
Everything is the same.
Yeah.
Sorry. I hear your reviews when you say I'm too loud. Soften my tone. Everything is the same. Do you think Lorelai and Luke would have had that big of a fight if Jess broke his wrist? And Rory,
I'm sorry, can you speak up a little bit? I don't recognize who this person is.
Negative.
Now. What is that?
Thank you, Danielle.
Negative.
Because them going to get the ice cream wasn't a big deal. Their drama and fatal flaw was that Rory let Jess drive because suddenly it becomes something totally different.
And turn
if
right
Rory
again.
Rory would have been driving.
And turn and right turn again. Right.
Listen, you're right. Talking about the difference of a fractured wrist on a beautiful bird soaring to heights that are immeasurable, as opposed to a caged animal who needs to be maybe put down.
No.
Luke isn't allowed. Luke wouldn't be allowed to flip out if Rory crashed the car on his kid. It's a little that we've got like a weird double standard going.
I agree.
And we're being so
no, I
Jess.
Think Lorelai has been beyond patient with Jess. She has been beyond accommodating with Luke, beyond accommodating with Rory, being a great mom, being completely understanding that she's balancing her daughter's feelings for this kid, which she know exists, trying to push her toward Dean a little bit, trying to help out Dean, knowing that it's a lost cause, right? And Jess is just this inevitability that she has to deal with in her life. It's one of these, you know, these potholes on the freeway to Rory's success. And she's trying to get her through it. She doesn't want her daughter to screw up her life. And here we go. Boom. She was right again. She has every reason to blow that guy out of Rory's life. And she has every reason to go at Luke like that. And I can completely, if that happened to me, I would have to really restrain myself with the other parent responsible, especially if I had feelings
from
her.
Any moms. I want to know from
because wait a minute.
Get,
here's the point. Not to interrupt. I apologize, but it's like, you know, there's this sort of freedom that Luke and Lorelai have, right? I mean, it makes sense to me that she can unload on Luke because she's so comfortable with him and she's maybe done it before in little ways, nothing like that. We haven't seen anything like this, but they have this freedom with each other. They have a sort of this license with each other. Like, we're going to say the thing, the inappropriate thing, the cutting thing that nobody takes personally because we have this friendship and we have this potential romance and we do have feelings for each other, which is going to allow us to be ourselves in this friendship. And that means we're going to be, you know, throwing some stones and cast some aspersions from time to time and nobody takes it personally. And it's all humor. It's all great to watch and all it's all fun. Now it gets real. So the doors have been opened in their friendship, in their quote unquote unspoken relationship. So the doors are wide open for this. So she feels like it's okay to do this. It would, I think, be more devastating had they a different relationship, a more traditional relationship.
That's interesting and valid.
I'm so relieved you think so.
Yeah, no, look, you sometimes you make I think... I want to know from moms of teenagers listening, is there a mom of a teenager that would have handled it differently than Lorelai, that maybe would have said, I'm so glad you're all are okay. You know, obviously you were supposed to be studying and not going to get ice cream, but like really their crime is so nothing. They probably were allowed to go get ice cream. Like, I don't even know if they like broke any rules. They just had the misfortune of some
possum
animal. Was it a possum?
It was one of the animals mentioned, a possum, I think a dog. She said a dog or a cat.
And they were, you know, like they were going probably 35 miles an hour. I mean, maybe that car, like they obviously weren't going 90 or doing
an interesting plot twist though, right? It's Dean in the form of a possum because he's at a shaman right now getting shapeshifted, right?
Well, okay. I'm glad you brought that up. If Dean was driving and everything was exactly the same, Lorelai wouldn't have been mad.
Yeah.
What?
Like, is everyone okay?
Dean was driving. Is everybody okay? Dean, are you okay? Do you want to come over for some dinner and watch a movie with us? And like, that's my beef here, is that like all this drama, she wouldn't have gone to Dean's father and said, how dare you bring him to this town where he's going to drive my daughter to ice cream and hurt her wrist.
Listen, different personalities are going to handle this situation in different ways, right? You're going to get the mom who is, who never would have been in a show like this, right? There wouldn't have been, nobody writes about people that are really, really careful with their kids. They blow out Jess's like every day because the daughter brings home another loser, right? And they're like, we talked about this. No. And then they're gone and then nobody's like writing about them, right?
right.
It's only with this, you know, where there's, you know, where the boundaries are blurred. That's where you get these characters and that's where you get these personalities. And, you know, the writing is it's so well laid out because you understand all sides of it, right? Everything is justified. You get why Lorelai backed down a little bit and allowed Rory to continue to see Jess. You get, you know, Jess is thrown into this situation and he's just sort of complicating everything. But you get all the angles as to why he's still allowed, because there's some hope. He's young. There's compassion. There's empathy. Even Lorelai gives him a job and tries to sit him down, talk to him, help him out. Yes, he's a very lovable, likable guy. He's in obvious pain. You don't throw people away. You don't throw, you know, people like Lorelai and Luke and Rory don't throw people away, especially, you know, family. Correct. I mean, you got to help the kid. I blew out a muffler when I was 12.
My dad had to go get my car off a tree.
Jesus. Really?
Yeah.
I was going up a very steep driveway and like hit some leaves and the car like went backwards, and thank God for the tree, I'd probably be like dead. And I had to leave the car just hanging off of a tree. And then my dad's like, oh my God. And it had to go get the, so it's like,
you know what?
Look,
I had a very similar situation now that I think about it.
And stuck you're on a tree,
stuck on a tree a with my boyfriend. So like kind of similar to Rory and Jess. And my dad, he did freak out, but he freaked out on like both of us, not just my now husband, but he freaked out on both of us being like, why weren't you being safe driving in the snow?
Right.
Yeah.
And how come no one's saying to Rory, why did you let Jess drive your car?
Totally.
Were you K-I-S-S-I-N-G in the tree? Daniel?
No. I wish. We skidded off on the highway on the way to Big Bear and a tree saved us. But yeah, my dad was like, that tree saved me too.
I have nothing remotely as romantic as that. When we were like 11 and 12 years old in my neighborhood, we would take out our neighbor's car. The neighbor down the street had a little Volkswagen with a stick shift, but no clutch. Little Volkswagen bus.
How do you have that?
There's a stick shift, but no clutch.
Well, how do you have, that doesn't
that
work.
That works. It worked. So we would take that car out and drive it around, you know, the neighborhood. And we felt really great. So my dad was always on business trips. He was always gone, right, during the week. And so one day we took out his, he had a Pontiac Le Mans fastback, right?
Oh,
and
wow.
So I took that puppy out by myself.
Oh,
I took it out myself and I went, I was 12 years old and I was joyriding around with it. I think I had about 50 miles an hour. And the muffler blew out. And I was like, oh no, I'm dead. So he's going to kill me. I'm going to die. So I had to put it back together with scotch tape because it was in right underneath the seats, the front seats of the car is where it came apart a little bit. So I just put it back together. And then my dad came home. He came home on a Friday night late, and Saturday we went to the hardware store because he wanted to pick something up, and it blew out. And he looked at me and I go, God, how did that happen?
Oh my God. Teenagers and their cars.
He never found out.
It's just a mess. So. My friend Carrie had a car. It was like the old family station wagon, and it didn't go in reverse. It only went forward. So they called it the one-way wagon, and they had to park it only in parking places where you could go forward.
Oh, that's hysterical. That's hysterical.
Anyway, get back to it.
Bottom line. I didn't like how Luke handled that. I think he could have been more circumspect.
Maybe should we hear that scene?
Hear it?
Just say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we maybe hear that scene again so we can analyze?
Yeah, let's go. Can somebody put it? Can
we may not be allowed to air the clip. Oh. So instead we have the I Am All In players ready to go.
Really? We can hear it right now. You just dial it in. You request it. It comes into your cans here.
Maybe could you give us like an action?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be in front of the gazebo scene, nighttime. Actress ready. Let's everybody get set. And Scott, you good? Lauren, you good?
Okay. We're good.
How about a couple of breath mints, you two? All right. There you go.
No kissing in the scene.
Yeah, let's try to keep your hands on off of each other.
I love you, Danielle,
this time. And action.
Luke.
Hey, I was.
Where is he?
Who?
Jess, where's Jess? Luke?
I don't know. I just got back. What's going on? I got here and they weren't here.
Jess?
Hey, talk to me.
Jess, answer me right now.
What's wrong? What happened?
There was an accident.
What? What accident?
Jess.
What accident?
Jess was driving Rory's car and he crashed it.
What? When?
What do you mean, when? Tonight. Tonight. He crushed it tonight. Just damn it.
What happened? Is anyone hurt? Lorelai. Hey. Hey, I'm talking to you here.
Sorry, can we do that one more time?
Cut. Let's cut it. We're going to pick it up right from there, right from the flub. So let's just pick it up.
It was actually very good until that point.
Yeah, it actually wasn't. So let's, let me just be the judge of that. Okay. Thank you.
Oh my God. They usually say I'm the mean.
I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest. I think for their limited experience, it was very good, but what standard are we? Anyway, I'll shut up. Anyway, let's take it back. I'm going to stop being mean now. So let's take it back where the flub happened and action.
Hey, I'm talking to you here.
Where would he be? Where would he go?
I asked you if anyone was hurt.
Was anyone hurt? Well, let's see. Rory's in the emergency room right now with a fractured wrist. So yeah, I'd say someone was hurt.
Rory fractured her wrist?
Yes. She has to wear a cast for 2 weeks. She's getting x-rays and tests.
What about Jess? Is he hurt?
No, Luke. Jess did the hurting. That little punk nephew of yours almost killed my kid tonight.
Look, I'm sure it was an accident. Accidents happen.
Not with my kid in the car. They don't.
Okay, you just need to calm down.
Why did you do this?
What are you talking about? What did I do?
Why did you bring him here?
What?
If you hadn't brought him here, none of this would have happened.
This is my fault?
Yes, it's your fault. You told him to come. You let him stay. Everyone hated him. Everyone knew he was trouble, but you wouldn't listen and you wouldn't send him home. And now my daughter is in the hospital. You kept pushing them together. You asked her to help him study. You knew that she would never say no. I told you to make it. I told you it made me nervous. I told you I didn't like it and it should have stopped right there. But you thought Rory wouldn't be good for Jess? Never mind what he would be for her. That wasn't important at all, was it?
Of course it was important.
Why didn't you put a stop to it that night at the first sign of trouble? Why didn't you make him leave?
He's my nephew. I had an obligation to take him in. I had an obligation to take care of him.
You had an obligation to this town and to me and to Rory. Where are you going?
I have to find out where Jess is.
All right, can we pause it? I'm going to push a pause button here. I'm going to borrow Amy's pause button, push a pause button.
You know
here.
These words. It's a lot of words.
It's a lot of words. Okay, hang on. I'm going to give Riley, I'm going to give you a note. I want you to get into the fight.
Okay.
Get into the fight. Danielle's fighting. Get into the fight. Come on, dig in. Get loud. Let's go. Match her intensity and her volume and just get into the fight.
I love these notes. I know. Just,
okay.
May I say one thing?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. One thing. I stand in defense of Luke.
Ditto.
Agree. Go ahead.
Noted. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you where he's not. He's not in the emergency room.
I'm sorry. I don't recall saying action. Camera's not ready. Shoot. All right. Everybody ready? Set? All right. Riley, get into the fight here. Come on, man.
Okay.
Stop judging yourself and just get into the fight. Commit. And action. All right, I got this.
Well, I'll tell you where he's not. He's not in the emergency room having his arm plastered up.
Hey, I'm sorry about Rory. You know, I care more about her than I do myself, but at least you know where Rory is. At least you know where she's okay. Now I have to go find Jess to make sure that he's okay. And if that cuts into your screaming time, well, that's just too damn bad.
Go to hell.
Right back at you.
Boom. Cut. Brilliant. Brothers. Wow.
I loved it.
That was Luke. It came out of her.
I loved it. I'm not even just saying that because people are mean to me when I criticize you guys. So I totally loved it. And also, they're both right. And I guess if I had to pick who's more right, it's Luke. Sorry.
Mm-mm.
Yep. I'm backing Amy up on this one. I agree.
I'm taking the other side of that. Nope. Mm-mm. Well, he's got to take those volleys. And still be understanding, compassionate, loving. He should have just said, "How's Rory? When can I see her?" You know,
Yeah, she's just like blaming him for everything because he took in his nephew. Is she kidding me with that? Of course he took. Like, we would not like Luke if he was like to his sister, "Oh, sorry, like I can't take him in because I'm really busy making hamburgers and the town doesn't really like him. So I'm going to go with the town." Like, are you kidding me?
He should have gone to three tutors at least before going to Rory. I think he went too soon. Would have given us some very nice storylines with potential tutor love interest. You got to throw in the tutor love interest because you had a Max Medina love interest. Why can't Luke have his kind of like, it's not a private school thing. It's going to be a tutor love interest. Why not give him that?
Quick note on that. Max Medina's character went down hard on the resident. Just saying.
Of course he did.
He went down. Lorelai repeat wore a shirt in this episode. It's a favorite of mine.
Are we doing fashion already?
I'm just interjecting. Because everybody's a little heated. So she has that blue and striped red with like a thin little red button down, which she once wore with red pants. She wore it in this episode. Also, I still like it. This wasn't my favorite fashion episode, but I enjoyed that we saw a repeat wear. I do like her like turquoise choker. But again, this was not a standout fashion episode.
Danielle, Riley, Juilliard called. They want to know if you're open in the fall next year.
I am open.
All right. They're holding a couple of scholarships aside. Not bad, though. I mean, definitely. You know, Riley, you take direction very well.
Thank you.
Very well.
True. In the scene in the diner, when they are picking movies, Rory and Lorelai are eating what looked to me to be Jell-O with berries. Riley, what was it?
It looked like Jell-O with grapes.
Huh.
Oh, no. See, I saw blueberries and raspberries and then some sort of gooey goo.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was a bowl of berries or if there was Jell-O in there. I just thought, what are they?
So let's shift gears here and let's cover a film by Kirk.
Oh, my God.
Can we just talk about a film by Kirk, please? I mean,
he's been working on it for five years.
Now,
but he can finish it by Thursday.
I think the Kirk scene in the diner was my favorite scene when he was saying, "I'd like the permission to play this film at the."
I can't cut out the damn.
I need my street cred.
Now, two hells I will drop, but the dams have to stay.
So
good.
But the film itself, so and they got that wonderful actor to play the father.
Oh my God. And Marilyn Rice got
right.
Oh my God, Chloe. Right. Chloe from 24.
Oh God. So and that is exactly like every pretentious student film you will ever see. Because I was in a bunch of them the in dancing. New York.
Oh, my
oh yeah.
God.
And they're all like that. They oh are God, all like dancing. That. And it's just so funny to see it. It's just a depiction of it. And oh my goodness.
So
and how great a break dancer is Sean Gunn.
Oh, so good.
The kid can move.
Oh my God.
Look, did you see that? What a display.
The whole thing was epic. Ugh. Of course, Lorelai and Roy love it more than life itself. I love the whole thing.
And we needed that.
I love the whole movie scene too.
We needed that laugh in this episode.
Oh yeah, we did. We really did. It was the perfect antidote to the heaviness that came.
I also love when the kitchen scene and Lorelai's eating marshmallows and then she just like offers, she's all right, marshmallow.
Uh-huh.
Like, One other question before, because I know we're like running short on time. What did you think that Rory asked Lorelai to lie if Dean called?
Yeah, look, that's over. She wants cover. She's now resorting to jailhouse tactics, as it were, right? Like lie for me and all. It's not Rory. Jess is taking Rory out of how her mother raised her. That's not how, you know, it's like go to Dean and just say, hey, I'm not vibing anymore and I want to pursue this other thing, you know, but she's in a small town. Maybe she doesn't want to create that much turmoil. So tempting is Jess. So dark is his world that I will change who I am to get you to lie for me so that I can spend time with that. Serious. It's very serious. Mm-hmm. It's like every parent's worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. It is.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and last hour on the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I have one inconsistency that I found in this episode, and I think you'll find it's fascinating, and it's when Luke brought the brownies. Now, the inside brownie, okay, and I will forward you, some screenshots that I took on my cell phone because I went, aha, I nailed it, you know, and my wife came downstairs. She goes, will you shut up? Mm-hmm. And I said, sorry.
I like that Luke's has custom made boxes though for like desserts and baked goods.
Yeah, the box was kind of crushed though, wasn't it?
It was crushed. That bothered me so much. I was like, God, why is that?
It's like, is that
so
Lummox
bad?
Not able to hold a box? And did he crush it with his big dumb hand? What the, dude. You know, Mr. Metal Shop? Like, what's going on there?
Right. And I'm like surprised that somebody wasn't like, cut, like, we need a good box, but maybe they only made one.
I think that's my fault. I fought for that box. I wanted it crushed because it's more real, right?
More
roll your eyes. Yeah, there you go.
Give us brownie gate.
It's like the inside brownie had, it was large and much darker, and it didn't have walnuts in it, and it didn't have marshmallow. It didn't really have anything in it. And then outside brownie was much smaller and much lighter brown and had mega walnuts in it. So
ooh, I don't like walnuts and brownies.
They're great in chocolate. They're really good. Oh, no, sure. I have it every night. That's my energy. That's my podcast.
Not walnuts.
But that
I like a chocolate covered almond.
So that I think is a big thing that threw me off. Made me
brownie almost, gate. Yeah, that's serious.
It's serious. Let's get some. And
no big deal that like Jess is leaving Stars Hollow. But let's focus. On
I think that you know, we get some politicians in committee and let's launch an investigation here. Let's spend some taxpayer money on this because it's, you know, some people need to go down.
Maybe we just pop them up on the Instagram and we slide through those photos.
I think so. It's my big aha moment in the episode, amongst others.
I mentioned it wasn't my favorite fashion episode, but had some great lines.
Gosh, did it? Did it?
Oh my God.
It had great lines.
You got a big frisbee height going down at 6 o'clock? Come on.
I didn't really remember any great lines.
Oh my God. The frisbee
line was good. Yeah, that was good.
This is my favorite line. Think how dull your life would be without me, just to Rory.
Kirk and Lorelai. Kirk asks for a minute over time, and Lorelai says, I'll give you two because you scare me.
I also liked the comeback. Can I have a shot
at one line before you get four? I just, because you're going to steal my thunder on this line, and you're always doing this. You have so many great lines. Just let me get one out, and then you can have three. All right.
Proceed.
Thank you. I think my favorite line was to Taylor when he said to her, are you serious? And Lorelai says, yeah, I think I've got a little bit of serious going there on that one. I like that.
So good. I've never seen The Yearling. I will throw it out right there now. I know we're not in the special Riley's pop culture, but I've never seen it.
haven't either. Yeah.
I will just leave you with this. That when you told Jess that he wasn't going to get to be a senior and he's going to have to repeat, he's like, well, at least I'll know where my classes are. Amusing. A lot of amusing.
Poor kid. Boy, this was heated. Oh my God.
I also had one other question. What are Weilers? W-Y-L-E-R-S. I need to Google that. It's in Dosey's Market.
Weilers? Is that a candy?
I'm finding out. Is it a candy? Weilers. This says it's instant bouillon.
Weilers instant bouillon.
Yeah, and then I guess Weilers. Oh, I guess it's a brand. They make
Italian ice stuff. And
yeah,
lemonade.
They make stuff. Because there was a prominent Weilers display. Respect to the grocery store for the real brands and not trying to be like, you know, like have like those weird TV fake brands.
Oh, by the way, here's a little behind the scenes factoid on movie and TV grocery bags. They are not real grocery bags because real grocery bags made out of paper crinkle loudly and make too much noise. So what they do is the TV and film uses these, they're kind of sacks. They're soft. They're kind of a material almost. And they make no noise, wow. But they look like grocery bags. There you go.
Wow.
You'll never hear a movie bag or a TV bag crinkling. All right, kids, what do you think? Did we pretty much cover it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I won the debate, but it's totally fine.
It's not about winning. It's about stating your case and defending it well. And I think we both did that. And I think we're both winners.
What's next week?
What's next week, Riley?
Episode 20, Help Wanted.
Oh, you better believe.
20, my God, we're like almost done with season 2. What is happening?
Help needed. Help is really needed. Let me tell you. Jess needs to, I don't know.
Send in your season 2 questions because we should do like a special season 2 rap Q&A someday.
Yes, we should.
Extravaganza.
Yeah. And email us your opinion on the Luke and Lorelai fight. Do you agree with me?
She's annoying and her voice is loud. I agree.
Or do you agree with Amy? Because every email that agrees with me, we'll send you. No, just saying, you know, unofficially. But Amy,
he actually can't say that.
I'm just kidding. We'll bleep that out, right? Right, along with the long fingernail bleep thing. Anyway, that's it, huh? We're gonna wrap this up.
Yeah.
All right, kiddo. Yeah. Thanks for downloading. Best fans on the planet. Love to you all. And we will see you next time. Stay safe. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Eugene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my hosts as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.